It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Before we go further into the game, Bridget, why don't we go to what you were going to bring up?
Yes. So what I was saying was, you know, Zaka starting to look better. Maybe that helps Pasternak start to get more production. And, you know, Pasternak has gotten criticism in the early parts of the season for making some plays that maybe seemed lax or like turnovers and not scoring at the same rate that he does or he has in the past. And there was a report that came from out yesterday, I believe, from a Czech journalist who he is there. Like, he has been there this week. He spoke to Pasternak actually after last game. Obviously we don't speak Czech, so when we hear it being spoken, we don't know what it means. But Ty Anderson, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, was the one who kind of like ran it through a translator, the story through a translator, and it was about Pasternak saying maybe there was a little bit more to the offseason injury that was kind of lightly reported a few months ago, but there's a little bit more to it, and that has something to do with him having a slower start.
Yeah, the first place I saw this was I saw on Twitter yesterday, earlier in the day, a screen capture from a David Pasternak Facebook page, which allegedly is his page, but then you go to it and it's like updating like mid game goals. I'm like, well, I don't think David's on Facebook during the game. So I kind of like was, maybe this is just, you know, one of those fake accounts. But Ty Anderson mentioned that there was a quote on that page basically saying that, you know, he dealt with an injury in the summer that went on longer than he thought. And it was tougher on him mentally than anything. And the moral of the story is, even though he told Scott in camp he felt 100%, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he wasn't able to get a full training session in. And Ty Anderson pretty much confirmed that the quote from that Facebook page was true, although he doesn't know the merits of the page.
Yeah, so the article is on the NHL.com Czech site, and you can run it through Google Translate, and obviously, like, you always have to take Google translations with a grain of salt. Sometimes, you know, what someone says in their native language doesn't exactly have like a one-to-one meaning. But basically, Pasternak's quote in the story was that he had an injury that kept him off the ice for a month and a half this summer, and that he felt like it was still affecting him at the start of this season, but that he feels like he's been getting better and better every game now. To back this up, and I think what you guys have alluded to a little bit, is right after the World Championships, when Pasternak helped the Czech Republic win gold in, you know, on home ice in Prague, there were Czech reports then, and again, all we can do is run it through Google Translate, that referenced an injury that he was dealing with that might require surgery. And it was like, that's weird. Like, Don Sweeney told us no one needed off-season surgery. And then I think when we talked to Sweeney again before the start of camp, he said that there had been no surgeries other than the three that Brad Marchand had, that was the only thing that had changed since the end of the season. And I was like, okay, so I guess Pasternak didn't have surgery. And then what you were referencing, Brian, I asked Pasternak about that during training camp, and what he told me was that he had some bruises and bumps that kept him off the ice a couple weeks, but that it was actually, he said the timing was actually kind of convenient because it was at the same time as his wedding, and he probably wasn't going to be on the ice anyways, So it wasn't really a big deal. And he said that at that point, that was the end of September, he said he felt 100%. So obviously these quotes indicate that it was, you know, a little more than he was letting on at the time. He told me a couple weeks. He tells this Czech journalist a month and a half, which is, you know, more than a couple weeks, and says it was still affecting him. So, you know, I think, I guess like my read on this is probably that, you know, maybe he did feel fine in training camp and thought he was past it. But being off the ice, you know, maybe affected him more than he anticipated. You know, like you just don't know what that's like. Sometimes someone feels right physically, but because it threw off their off-season routine, they're not ready for the same for the season in the same way that they normally would be. Like these guys have such kind of like tight regimens that they stick to that when you throw it off a little, like it's absolutely possible that it could affect him, and maybe even still is, although he says he's feeling better now.
I guess we truly won't know. I think at the end of the day, you know, how are we supposed to react as fans and media to that? I mean, it's okay. That's unfortunate. But you know, you're a leader on a team and you need to step up and be a leader because everybody goes through injuries over the course of a season. And I don't want to, I understand what he's saying that's, you know, if it threw his summer regimen off, that's unfortunate. If he's dealing with the lingering thing, it's unfortunate, but it's the old adage. If you're on the ice, you're good enough to play, then you have to be held accountable for how you're playing out there. And that's just where I'll leave it. Like, I'm not going to, and nobody here is, but I'm not going to hear this news and be like, oh, well, that makes sense why he's, you know, not skating as hard as he should be. You know, maybe to explain some of his lack of confidence and second guessing with, you know, in grade A chances, maybe. But as far as the little details of the game, you know, that should be. But yeah,
mm-hmm. That's what I think. It's like when you think about like, okay, how has he been playing different? It's like, yeah, he's not this. His confidence level certainly doesn't seem like it's as high as it's been in the past. And so maybe that, you know, maybe that contributed to it. But hopefully, you know, that's just something that he works through as the season gets going, and the slow start, even if this just explains a little bit of it, it's just not going to linger, because as he gets more games, he feels better, hopefully, and mentally, like he's able to get himself back on the schedule that he's normally on. And yeah, so interesting, because we still don't have a whole lot of like concrete information about it, because we still, you know, we haven't had like a formal answer. We kind of go through some smoke screen a little bit.
And one other thing here, like, and tying this back to some of Montgomery's postgame comments, is like, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that this training camp was basically just a disaster start to finish.
It was terrible.
It just seems like so many things went wrong or were off in camp that clearly lingered into the start of the regular season. And like we've talked about injuries, which were the obvious one, right? Like Brad Marchand missed the start of camp. Elias Lindholm missed a week and a half in the middle of it. Patra missed the end of it. There might have even been other
Jones. Ones.
Max Jones. Like Swayman obviously holding out, like not being there at all.
Right.
Like, so like there's all that, but now like we find out like, oh, Pasternak may not have been 100%, even though he was on the ice the whole time. I still think there was something going on with Coyle, because he didn't play till the fifth game. And Jim Montgomery said, it's good, we can finally get him into a game. And it's like, well, what was the reason you couldn't get him into any of the first four? So I still think there was something there. Now you have Montgomery admitting, when I asked the question about conditioning, that they thought conditioning was off in camp. And it's like, that could be as simple as guys were banged up, so their conditioning wasn't where it needed to be. Or that could be an even bigger problem of like, did you just get the plan wrong in terms of how you tried to get the team ready for the season? And guys just weren't at the level, like, you know, like it doesn't have to be like the Herb Brooks training camp, right? Like where you're just doing sprints the whole time, but there is a level of physical conditioning that has to happen to get a team ready for the season. And I think it seems to me like pretty fair to wonder if that happened.
Well, the three of us were at training camp and I don't, you know, I wasn't very impressed with necessarily the structure of the, I didn't think it was the most, and when I say the most, it wasn't a very competitive, endurance driven camp. It was kind of like, it looked like a captain's practice, like everybody getting back onto the ice and getting their touches. It wasn't very like, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're playing the defending Stanley Cup champions in 2-3 weeks. It was just kind of, and look, you can look at every situation individually and explain it away. Pashnak may have been a, you know, world championship injury. Martian's coming off of surgeries. Coyle could have, you know, tweaked something working out in Foxborough off the ice. Who knows? But like Lindholm, maybe he got a bad luck injury in the first period of a preseason, like whatever. But still, as a team, when you're off from, you know, when you got eliminated in April and you don't hit the ice again as a team in September and you got five guys entering camp, not at 100%, it's like, that's either the shittiest luck in the world or it's like, I think they got to take a look at how they're handling the off season. I don't know. Like, how do you enter camp after 5-6 months off with, you know, that many injuries? Maybe it's just bad luck and it starts and ends there. But in any event, guys, I kind of want to bring this back to the game and some of the questions and storylines that are in the wake of it. And Bridget mentioned earlier, the Bruins got outshot 12-0 in the third period. True statement. I want to peel it back a little bit further. Brad Marchand gave the Bruins the 2-1 lead with 14 minutes and 53 seconds left in the second period. From that moment until Brady Tkachuk ended the game, in just over 36 minutes of game time, so the remainder of the second period, all of the third in overtime, the Bruins had 4 shots on goal. So none in the third, 3 in the second after Marchand scored, and then 1 in overtime, the Elias Lindholm shot. Great save by Ullmark, by the way, on that. Predictable, because Marchand didn't come with any speed, so I think Ullmark had a chance to read that pretty quickly, but great save nonetheless. Good execution. You get outshot 12-0 in the third in a 2-2 hockey game on home ice. You get outshot. And for the record, I think I had Ottawa's numbers in front of me, but Ottawa had, I think it was 20-4. I think it was in that same stretch. Yeah, it was outshot. They were outshot 20-4. So when Boston took the 2-1 lead, the rest of the game, 24 in shots in favor of Ottawa on home ice against a, you know, average Ottawa team. Absolutely unacceptable. I don't care if you have 23 of the best players in the world or the worst players in the world. That is straight out getting outworked, out-executed, out-coached, out-everything. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of chatter about, you know, is it time for a coaching change? Is it time for that? Doesn't really, like, that's just unacceptable no matter how you break it down.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah, it is. It's the first time they've gone without a shot in the third period of a game. Kevin Paul Dupont had this stat since December 2006, which was the dark days of Dave Lewis. Like, anytime you're doing something that hasn't been done since that team, you're in a bad spot. But yeah, like, it was just awful. It was just like a complete collapse where it was like, it's almost not that it's like ever acceptable to have a period like that, but when it's the first period, you can chalk it up to just a slow start. Like, whatever, you weren't you weren't ready for puck drop or whatever. And then if you recover as the game goes on, maybe you can write it off. Second period, we see all the time teams kind of have a lull in the second period.
Long change.
Yeah. It feels much worse to me when it's the third period and when it's a tie game. Like, this wasn't a game that was out of reach where it's like, whatever, we're just going to mail in the last 20. It's a 2-2 game, and you just completely no-show the third period. Like, it's so baffling. And, Brian, you're right. It's like, even if execution is off or your line combinations don't have chemistry or whatever, like, just pure effort will get you a handful of shots. Like, that should be the absolute bare minimum. And it's like, yeah, losing battles, losing foot races, it's all just effort stuff that should always be there, especially in a tie game on home ice.
And they got outshot and outplayed in the first period too. They got outshot in the first period 9-7. And so when you really break down the game, the Bruins had a good first 4.5 minutes of the second. And in that time, they took the lead. So again, they take the lead 2-1. They get outshot 24 the rest of the way. And the first period, they get outplayed. So, look, I know it's easy to sit here and say it's not Monty's. For the record, I think a lot of people who are saying the Bruins probably need a coaching change, I think maybe more than half of those people are at the same time saying it's not Monty's fault, but the GM's not going to fire the roster. And the easy play is to fire the coach, right? And that's the quickest way to maybe try to salvage the season. Montgomery, if you're the Bruins and you don't think you're going to re-sign Montgomery after this year, and it's an opportunity to salvage a season right now, and you have trust in some of his assistant coaches or whatever, like, you know, it might seem inevitable. But if you're the players, guys, and I was asked this question yesterday, and it's a good question. If you're the players, what do you think the problem is? What do you think is going wrong? If you're a player right now, it's easy for a fan in the media to say, well, it's all these things and it's the coaching. If you're a player, a Bruins player, I think the first thing is to be looking at yourself in the mirror, because that's, I think, where the problems really start. But let's be realistic. You're Brandon Carlo, or you're David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, Charlie Coyle. You're sitting in the locker room at Warrior before practice today, and player to player, like, no coaches are around. What do you think they're saying to each other? Like, yeah, I think the problem is this, because I can assure you guys those conversations probably happen. And I think, I guess I'll just give a quick answer to it, but I think a lot of it starts with a lack of confidence. I think when you're playing this poorly, you're lacking confidence in a major way. And I think there is actually one category the Bruins are number one in the league in this year, and I think it's overthinking. I think their overthinking per 60 is through the roof, and I think that stems from a lack of confidence. And I think that you have a coaching staff who wants the team to make plays with the puck on their stick and look for quality over quantity, and I respect the hell out of the mindset there from the coaches. I do get that. But it does go against a lot of your instincts as a player, because when you have the puck on your stick in the O zone, if there's not an obvious play to make, your thought is to kind of hold on to it and get it to a safe area or get it on net. And, you know, the Bruins coaching staff, I think, values scoring on primary shots, and to score on a primary shot in their mind, it has to be a quality shot. But I think the reality is most goals are scored in rebounds, scrums, and plays that happen due to getting the puck on net. Like, you get the puck on net, you get the defense turning around, you get the opposition playing defense and they're scrambling. Then those passing lanes open for those primary looks to score on. So it's almost like they want to get the results without the high percentage process of getting it. And I think it's leading to the Bruins players overthinking. What do the coaches want us to do? Where are we supposed to be? And when you're overthinking, you're not playing. You're reactionary. So I apologize if I took some of your answers, but maybe you guys can think of others. Like, if you're the Bruins players, what is going wrong right now in your mind?
Well, I mean, you have to start by just, like, controlling what you can control. And one of those things is intensity, your practice intensity. You can control that level. You can manufacture some energy that way. And then you hope that that, once you get that down, it translates into game intensity. So yeah, Brian, you took a lot of them, but, you know, being more intense and being, and obviously simplifying too, like you said, no more overthinking or minimize the overthinking, the time that it takes to process and see the play in front of you. But I think a lot of this gets solved with just being more intentional with your energy and your intensity, especially in practice. It doesn't take anything for you to go out there and practice and set the right mentality, because then that usually leads to more confidence. So, you know, it's all about correcting that.
Yeah. And like, that is absolutely where it has to start. It's like, I feel like I'm, you know, a little bit of a broken record, but it's like, if you just work hard, like the other stuff's going to start coming. And it feels like this team is like, they're like the employee that has like a good productive morning to start the day and then just like mails it in after lunch. And it's like, no, like you actually have to keep doing it. And then you have to do it 5 days a week. And like, it just has to, like, it has to be every day. It can't be like, I had a good day yesterday, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll just cruise around out here today. Like, nope, that's how you end up following up a good game with a bad game. Like, that's why this team is so inconsistent. I do wonder if, like, you know, if you're Montgomery, and maybe he already has tried this, but is the next step to almost like undercoach, right? Like, do you just tell players go out there and play? Like, because I do think at times this year it has looked like part of the problem and part of the overthinking is, what am I supposed to do here? Like, what did we practice? Where was my teammate supposed to be, type of thing? And if that's just not coming naturally to guys, like, maybe you do almost like unplug for a couple games and be like, guys, just go out. You've played hockey your whole life. Go out, play hockey, trust your instincts, and like, see what happens. Now, of course, if that's a disaster, then that looks even worse on Montgomery, because now you're like, oh, you weren't even coaching them. Like, you know, that type of thing.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.